McMillan interviewing Arthur Eddy at my home, 41 Chatfield Drive. The date is May 16th, 2012. What is your full name?
Clifton Arthur Eddy. I'm known as C. Arthur Eddy, however.
And where were you born?
I was born in Gardner, Massachusetts.
And what date?
On May 11th, 1932.
And what were your parents' names?
My father was Clifton Arthur Eddy. My mother was Rebecca Clark Eddy. Did I say that?
Do you have siblings?
I have a brother who is 77, David Webster Eddy, and I have a sister who just will turn 69 next month, Lorna Rivers.
What is your educational background?
I graduated from Gardner High School in Gardner, Massachusetts in 1950. I graduated from Colby College in Waterville, Maine with a Bachelor of Arts in 1954. I have a master's degree in education from the University of Massachusetts, 1962, I believe. And I have a second master's degree. It says mathematics, but it's really mathematics education, from the University of Oregon in 1969, I think.
And what did you do after college?
I worked for a year in the Colby admissions office, waiting to be drafted. Wasn't drafted. I enlisted in the Army, spent 2 years, 10 months, and 24 days in the United States Army Counterintelligence Corps. And then I started teaching mathematics at Amherst Regional High School in Amherst, Massachusetts.
And how did you happen to come here?
I played baseball with Arthur White, who worked at Hotchkiss for all of his teaching life at Colby. He was class of 52, and it was through him that I found out about the math program here at Hotchkiss, which was unusual to say the least, and wanted to work in it with it. And so we moved down here in 1963 and been here ever since, basically.
What was unusual about the summer math program that attracted you?
Well, I came down in the summer. He invited me to come down and work for the summer school, and that's how I found out about the program. The chairman of the department at the time, George Stone, believed that the only reason that one studied secondary school mathematics, algebra, geometry, etc., was to study the calculus. And so he wanted a textbook series that would prepare students in grades 9, 10, and 11 for calculus in the 12th grade. And none of them did that. All of the series was set up for four-year preparation. And so he wrote a series of texts that put into each year what he felt was necessary to be successful in calculus. And so he condensed four years of mathematics into 3 years. And he also threw in a lot of the new stuff, the modern stuff at the time. This was in the late 50s. And it just intrigued me. So I talked with Bill Olson the first summer I was here, and he told me there would be an opening in the fall of 63. So I applied for it and came down in 63.
What were your responsibilities at Hotchkiss besides teaching?
In those days, everybody at a place like Hotchkiss was presumed to be a triple threat. You ran a dormitory corridor, you coached, and you taught. And it was actually time in the day for each of those things, which was, for me, a nice factor. That was not the case in Amherst. So Barbara and I and the three kids moved on to the second floor of Beeler Dormitory. I coached soccer, basketball, and baseball that first year. Taught four sections of mathematics. I guess I'm probably an advisor to a certain number of students. I became the advisor to the Bridge Club. Just
whatever they needed.
Kept busy, right.
When did you retire?
I stopped teaching in 1992 when I was 60. I was given a golden parachute for education, at least. I was paid for 2 years for not teaching. I continued to coach softball, and then I retired in the sense that I started taking my retirement in 1994 when I was 62.
Do you have fond memories of Hotchkiss?
Oh, yes. It was a wonderful place to teach. I had tremendous freedom in the classroom. The students were, if not all brilliant, certainly motivated, hardworking. It was a great place to raise the kids. My children remember me as always being around, because if I didn't have a class, I could go home, especially when they were little. I loved the coaching. It was truly a great place to teach, and goodness, we as did the public schools, essentially had 180 days of school a year, except that we did it at a 6-day-a-week clip, so that meant that we had 20 weeks vacation throughout the year, which was huge.
Yes.
I love teaching here. And I don't regret having left the public sector, but I've never believed in the system. I think kids at a high school age, by and large, should be home with their families. But I did enjoy teaching and living here. My wife Barbara was able to become very involved in the, I'm losing my voice. very involved in the community. So I think it was turned out quite differently for both of us than we had anticipated.
Good. When you first came, was it all boys?
Yes. The school admitted their first female students in 1974, which was the year my firstborn, Sarah, entered the ninth grade. So she came to Hotchkiss. excuse me. I hope you can edit this. She came to Hotchkiss as a ninth grader. It was a perfect school for her. At one time, we had Sarah at Hotchkiss, Joanna at the high school, Clark at Oliver Walcott Technical School, and Josh, our youngest, at the elementary school.
That covers the system fairly well.
It does.
With the advent of girls, what were some of the changes that Hotchkiss had to adjust to?
Well, certainly the bathrooms had to change. I'm among those who felt that Hotchkiss, in some difficult to define way, became more human. It became a little bit more normal to have girls around. It in many ways became friendlier. Certainly the dining room, there was a significant change because of the increase in size of the school. When they admitted women, the trustees promised not to reduce the number of boys. And so the school was predetermined to become bigger. and the dining room would not hold everybody at sit-down meals, and so it moved into a cafeteria situation, which significantly improved the food.
Oh, good.
They could stuff it, and I'm sure, I would assume it saved money, because food that heretofore, if it didn't fit into a stew or a soup, had to be chucked.
Uh-huh.
And in the cafeteria style, you could put it in the refrigerator and have another option the next day. So the whole dining room became a social scene. It really wasn't a social scene in the old days, where everybody marched in, sat down, consumed their food, inhaled their food, and then left. So that, the dining room was probably its biggest. Another big change that came about was the chapel arrangements. Because everybody couldn't fit in chapel, there no longer was daily chapel. There was chapel, I'm not sure how long it took to get to this, but 2 days a week. And half the school went on one day and half the school went on another day.
Physically, the school did a lot of building. Dormitories.
Initially, yeah, I'd have to think, probably take too long to think about. Initially, what happened was that they renovated an existing one. They renovated one of the first buildings in the school, the big yellow building that became a women's dormitory.
Was that Bissell Hall?
Bissell Hall, yeah. Which, while still there when I arrived in '63, consisted of a large study hall in which final exams were also held, and then rooms in which the people who worked in the dining room lived. In those days, if they needed workers from the dining room, I think they'd make a trip down to New York City to where the guy stood around looking for work, and they'd bring them up, and they might be here a week, they might be here 2 weeks, until a lot of them got enough money to go out and have another binge. So it was quite different than it is now, and has been for many, many years, where they have an organization that they lease the business to. The food in the dining room is, I thought, outstanding. And it was all you could eat. In the old days, they could only cook so much because they knew if it didn't get consumed, it'd be thrown away. In the old days, if you had ice cream for dessert, 13 scoops of ice cream would be put in a big bowl and be served as a amalgamated mass. Now you have ice cream machines. And, the dining was a huge, huge thing.
Who are some of your colleagues that you remember?
Oh, gracious. When I arrived, Dick Gurney was a force English teacher. Tom Stern, ex-Marine, history teacher, tough old gentleman. Peter Beaumont was a French teacher. Gil Smith was another French teacher. And some of the younger guys who were younger than I was, a guy named Al Haas who taught math. I'm trying to, Ed Dakin, whose son is a lawyer here in town still. He was a Latin and Greek teacher, as I recall. Dick, oh gracious.
Bacon?
Dick Bacon, yeah. He got my daughter through Latin, bless his soul. George Stone was around. Shortly after I arrived, guys like Walter Crane and people who now have retired but came in as kids when I was I came down here as a 30, I was 30 years old, let me see, I came here 60, I was 31 years old with some experience. Another big change, obviously, or clear, not obviously, but clearly a big change that came about because of the co-educational move was that we had women teachers. Most boarding schools are all boys, don't have women teachers, didn't have women teachers. The only woman teacher at Deerfield back in those days was the headmaster's wife. And Hotchkiss had no women teachers. There weren't many at the beginning, but now I'm not sure, I would estimate probably half the faculty is women. So that was a big change.
What are some of the civic responsibilities that you've taken on?
Well, when I arrived, I'm not sure there was a lot of that that did take place. Hotchkiss was a pretty tight little community. There were no walls, but you had the sense that there were walls. And you'd go downtown to do your grocery shopping, and you'd do this and you'd do that. But I'm not sure when it really began, but Steve Ballmer in the late 60s was elected to the school board. He's one of the first people that I know for sure got involved in town stuff. And then gradually people began to get involved in town boards. I took Steve's place on the school board when he went on sabbatical. After he came back and finished his term, I stood for the school board and was elected. And a lot of us have served on a variety of town boards now, elected positions, appointed positions. I think people have always been involved in the churches, but certainly since, if I had to pick a time, I'd say since the early to mid 70s, people began to get involved in the town. Partly because I think that more and more families came in. Again, in the old days, most of the teaching staff, I think, were bachelors. I know when I was traveling for the Colby Admissions Office, I visited Deerfield Academy, and I never got used to the fact that the private schools had lunch at 1 o'clock. So I would have something to eat at 11, show up at noontime. And, figuring they'd be just through lunch and I could go on. And so this time I showed up at Deerfield, the headmaster said, we're just going to lunch, so he invited me to his house to have lunch. And that's how I met his wife, who subsequent years I got to know because she was a math and chemistry teacher there. And when I taught in Amherst, I would see her at conferences. But we had a wonderful chat. Papa Boyden, as he was known, was an iron fist at Deerfield. And I mean, he was the admissions guy. If Papa Boyden thought you should go to Brown and you wanted to go to Harvard,
he went.
Guess where you went, right? And after our marvelous conversation, and he said, now we'll go back and I'll let you meet some people. He said, by the way, he said, when you get out of the Army, if you'd be interested, he said, write me a letter if you're still single. And this was 1955-56. There weren't many. So that was another thing I think that just made more human, made more community friendly the Hotchkiss adults.
Were you ever on the Board of Finance?
Yes. I'm proud of the fact that I, as a Democrat, I beat Republicans. I clearly beat the best candidate because she had just moved to town and hardly anybody knew her. But I was petrified when I didn't know. I think the assumption was in the town that if you're a math teacher, you'd be a good Board of Finance because Carl Williams, of course, for years was on the Board of Finance. He was the Board of Finance. And before him, Keith Bond, who was a math teacher at the high school, was on for years. And I mean, I was fairly well known. Barbara was better known. I was Barbara Eddy's husband because she was Lakeville Journal. But I think I was a math teacher, so I won, but I didn't have a clue about what was going on. Fortunately, we moved to the Cape, so I had to resign. But yes, I was. I also served on the board of tax review. I think it was. That was the first elected. No, I'm sorry. School board, and then I was on the board of tax review for a while, and then was asked to run for the board of finance. And I really had no idea about what it was like. And I got there. Oh.
You handled it.
I nodded a lot.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to add to this interview?
My comment earlier about not believing in the system, because we felt that Sarah, although Sarah was at Hotchkiss for 4 years and it was a perfect place for her, she was a day student, and we thought we didn't see a lot of her as a day student. She'd go off at 7 in the morning, come home at 10 at night. But I, in spite of feeling as I do about the system itself, because I think kids that age ought to be home, to me, a school is a great school for a child. People would ask me, what do you think of Housatonic? And I said, well, I have children at Housatonic, and I think it's a great school because there are people I could name, like Keith Bond, like Ellery Sinclair, like
Dave Beiersdorfer.
David Beiersdorfer. And why can't I think of name the principal, the just died recently,
Jack Mahoney.
I said, who, if a kid's fortunate enough to have somebody like that, they'll talk about him 40 years from now. And to me, that's what a good school is. If there's somebody that a student has as a teacher or a coach, that 40 years later, they'll say, that person really had an impact on me. It's a good school for the kid. And I think a tremendous advantage that a Hotchkiss has is that the extremely superb quality of people that the headmaster can hire, because the headmaster literally has no requirements that have to be met. If the headmaster is impressed by Walter Crane because of ABCD, he will hire Walter Crane. And because of the boarding aspect, that aspect that I pretty much object to, the child will have people in the dormitory, will have contact with people on the athletic field, will have contact with people as an advisor in a club, and obviously the classroom, that the chances of a child having one or two, if they're really lucky, people that meet that goal 40 years later. Oh, Bob Hawkins made my career. He taught me how to write. It's better. It's greater. And that is not to say that public schools, there are great public schools, there are crappy private schools, but I think because of the nature of the beast of a private school, that tremendously critical part of one's schooling is more apt to be met at a Hotchkiss. I was very lucky. I had a high school math teacher, I had a high school history teacher, I had two or three teachers in college. But I'm a teacher, and I'm a teacher partly because of them, and therefore because of that, I can say I had a lot of people. So I was very fortunate. That's what I would add.
That's a wonderful commentary on education.
I've felt that strongly for a long. I worship the ground that my high school math teacher walked on.
And then you learned.
We remained friends until the day she didn't know who I was. And I taught 5 years in Amherst, And then I came down here, and I never left. And I sometimes think, well, I really limited my experiences, but I did and I didn't.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.